Shadow of the Hook by Wolfgang Wimmers. Passage 3, Part 2. Continuing from where we left off, with Sandy having been captured by the Grobble, and Oscar and Rosa about to enter Spellbound Specialties Art Supply.
"You're mine," croaked the Grobble, clasping her arm in his gruesome and gribbly grasp. Sandy just looked Grobble deep in his eyes and smiled in the clamp of his clasp. He led her away through the salt and the sand, over rocks deftly winding through grasses, towards his damp cave on the hill far away, twisting tracks, frosted overgrown passes. Snow blocked the pass, but the Grobble was strong. He strewed all the snow with his scatters. Large greenish hands spun like two ceiling fans, making gaps through the snow with great splatters.
"Take me to them,"
said the brute in his stride, with his furrowing fingers a-flapping. Sandy replied with a glint in her eye,
"With your mood, that's not going to happen."
The Grobble then let out a frustrated roar, but continued to shovel his track. An angry young troll with a dark, injured soul, and a sandy sprite strapped to his back. They tracked through the forest and stinking dark swamp, which was warm, even though it was winter. The chilling howl sound from a haunted old hound left behind, Grobble sprang like a sprinter. They didn't slow down to the crest of a mound, where a damp and dark cave mouth did stand. The old fairy shook with an uneasy look, for behind lay a small trail of sand.
Creak. The door opened and the children peered inside. The sickly sweet smell of paint, incense, and scented candles assaulted their nostrils. Various underlying scents, too, hung like warm fog in the air. Pencil shavings, wooden boxes, and was it rose perfume? They only became aware of having taken a few steps inside when a voice burst into life right beside them.
"Hello, my dears! Well, look at you two little angels right here in my shop,"
said the cheeriest voice they'd ever heard. Bending down to them slightly was a smiling, round-faced old lady with a bob of brown hair, flecked with grey. There was a strange scent about her. The children thought old people always had a certain smell, but this old woman's odour was a little more off-putting than most. It was like the smell of something rotting in the back of the fridge, but smothered by an old lady's musky perfume in an effort to drown the stench.
"Where are your parents, young ones?"
she asked, looking eagerly out of the window for a car in the drive.
"Oh, we're just from up the..."
began Rosa before sharply being cut off by her brother. "They just dropped us off for a minute," Oscar said. They'll be back to pick us up soon. We're just looking for supplies for a school project."
"Oh, how lovely. I'm sure I must have everything you could possibly need right here. Please let me introduce myself. Hilda Margaret von Lipp, at your service. This is my shop, Spellbound Specialties. There's a little bit of magic in every corner," she chuckled. "So feel free to look around, children, and let me know if I can help."
Von Lipp took a thorough look at them both.
"Haven't I seen you in here before?" she asked.
I think I might have come in for some school stuff before," said Rosa.
Thanks, Mrs. Lipp. We'll take a look around," said Oscar, quickly grabbing his sister's hand and darting off further into the shop.
"It's Von Lipp," muttered the old lady as she shuffled back to the counter.
For a few minutes, Oscar and Rosa pretended to browse, looking over the paints, pens, and pencils. They shot concerned looks at each other. Pretty soon it would become obvious that they were not here to purchase art supplies. As if appearing out of thin air, Von Lipp suddenly spoke from directly behind them, They both jumped at the sound of her voice.
"Can I offer you, darling, some tea and cakes? It's a cold day, and you young people do need your energy."
Von Lipp had a crumb of sponge stuck to the corner of her mouth. She held a delicate porcelain plate with four or five pieces of what looked like lemon cake. Von Lipp's thick, wrinkly thumb clung to the side of the plate. Its discoloured nail made Rose's stomach turn.
"No, we're fine, but thank you," she replied quickly. "Oh, well, let me know if you change your mind,"
Von Lipp said cheerily. Oscar smiled up at Von Lipp and watched as she turned and trotted back to the shop counter. As she slowly moved behind the counter, he thought he saw her expression turn into a snarl, but wondered if this was just in his head. "Now I'm imagining things," he whispered. There was a tug at his shirt. It was Rosa.
"Come on, we have to ask."
As they walked back toward the counter, Oscar caught a glimpse of a large oval mirror in a room beyond. Its frame was exquisitely decorated. A large goat skull sat atop it. Twisted horns curved downward to become one with the frame. They only saw it for a brief second, but the reflection in the mirror was definitely not of anything in the store. For a brief moment they saw green grass, very close up. Then the scene changed, momentarily, and they saw a clearing surrounded by trees and snow. Then the grass again. Oscar screwed up his face in confusion. Was this some sort of weirdly shaped television? The dark shape of Von Lipp then moved into their line of sight, blocking the mirror.
"So, how can I help you children?"
she asked, a slight concern showing on her wrinkling face and the crumb of lemon cake still sitting in the corner of her mouth.
We were looking for a, said Oscar.
"Oh, my dear," said Von Lipp. "Come on, get it out, sweetie."
A nerve twitched at the corner of her left eye.
A
spider silk net,"
blurted Rosa. The air in the room suddenly felt stagnant, still and stale. The entire shop darkened a little, as if a storm cloud had passed over outside. Von Lipp smiled, a twitch starting up next to her eye. A large vein bulged in her forehead.
Oh, children, I think I must have misheard you. What did you need for your schoolwork?"
Oscar regained his courage.
"I think you may have heard us just fine, Mrs. Lipp. We're looking for a spider silk net."
Hilda von Lipp's face darkened along with her voice.
"Ah, I was afraid I'd heard that correctly. And it's von Lipp. So, I take it you've met some of the folk from up our lovely hill. It's been a long time. Tell me all about it, children."
Oscar collected his courage. "I don't think we can, Mrs. von Lipp. We do need your help to find a net. We just need to know whether you can help, and if so, what a net would cost."
Von Lipp's face angered briefly. Then she stood and thought for a long moment, her small, piercing eyes darting back and forth between Oscar and Rosa.
"I see. Well, I guess you've heard all about me. About the things I did back then, in those dark days. I can see from your faces that you have at least some of it. It's a long time ago, though. I was young, and I wanted so much more than what I had. Jealousy clouded my judgment, and I made huge mistakes. I have paid dearly for it for many years now, and if I could take it all back, children, I would."
A single tear splashed down onto her cheek. She was silent for another moment before her face brightened once again.
"But age tames the savages of youth, my lovelies, and you too will learn this one day."
She began tidying things up and pacing up and down behind the counter.
"My anger toward the folk is all but gone. I no longer wish to harm any of them. I just potter about in my shop and help artists find a bit of magic in their works."
She stopped and placed both hands on the counter.
A spider silk net, you say? Made by the elves, from the silk of an ancient giant spider. A powerful item indeed. And as there haven't been any giant spiders for hundreds of years, an extremely rare item. What are you two up to, I wonder?
She looked at them suspiciously.
I do know of a place where you'll be able to find what you seek. It exists within a cave, past the old marsh, through a gloomy part of the forest. If you want to get there, however, you'll first need to find a way into the fairy realm.
She paused again and thought.
I can't tell you how to enter the fairy realm. It was lost to me long ago. But should you make it to the realm, you will need to search deep within the forest, near a gigantic stone cliff, directly under the curved stone of the hook. There you will find a cavern known to some as the Gifting Grotto. There you will face tests, and if you are worthy, you will find the gift you seek.
Von Lipp stared off into nothing again, lost in thought.
I sought the secrets of this cavern many times, but its treasures eluded me. I didn't have the courage to enter.
All of a sudden her voice boomed out, her face darkening once more. Make no mistake, children. This is no game. There will be danger, and if you fail, it could be deadly.
But that was me, and this is you,
she said, her eye twitch returning as she smiled once more. The smell of her foul breath filled the air as she continued.
I'm sure you two will be just fine.
Von Lipp chuckled mysteriously to herself.
I'm happy to draw you a map of the cave's location and some nearby landmarks, so you'll be sure to find it. But how you make your way there and how you face the cave's tests will be up to you.
Thanks, Mrs. Von Lipp, but what would that cost us?
Asked Rosa.
The cost?
Laughed Von Lipp.
Oh, my dears, the cost is barely anything. Simply a few locks of the young lady's beautiful hair. As you can see, I use them to make my dolls,
she said, motioning towards a line of vacant-faced dolls sitting on a shelf nearby. Rosa hesitated for a moment. Only she could talk to the two magical folk in the backpack. She would know what to do. She looked at Oscar to see what he thought. When he didn't protest, she accepted Von Lipp's request with a nod. Quick as a flash, the old lady whipped out a pair of scissors and snipped off two locks of Rosa's hair. As her hand whooshed by Rosa's face, she was assailed by a waft of the same faintly rotten smell she'd noticed earlier. Von Lipp carefully placed the locks of hair into a drawer below the counter, at the same time pulling out a small piece of paper and a large, old-fashioned feathered pen. She dipped its quill into a small well of ink and began to draw a crude map, humming happily away to herself as she did so. When she was done, she lifted the map to her face and blew the ink dry with her stagnant breath. Oscar felt sick as he caught a whiff. As Von Lipp folded the map and reached to pass it to Rosa, Oscar said,
Thanks for doing this for us, Mrs. Lipp.
She stopped.
Her face immediately darkened, and her eyes glazed over. Her smile became a furious scowl.
It's Von Lipp, you ignorant little imbecile!
She screamed, snatching the map away again.
You can't have it! It's mine! They're all mine! I'll crush them all in one hand.
She paused momentarily, then seemed to pull herself together a little as her voice trailed off into a low, ominous growl. Her vicious face loomed over Oscar and Rosa.
Make no mistake, she whispered. Terrible things await you in the dark.
The children began backtracking, inching toward the door. Von Lipp followed, screaming once more,
Terrible things!
Thank you.
Mother perched in the dark, alone.
Always alone.
She felt the stirrings in her stomach, her last meal hours past.
Always hungering.
She got most of those who entered her home. They were delicious treats compared to her usual prey, the dull-tasting blue ones. She focused on her growing hunger, not wanting to face the thought again. Because with the thought came the rage.
Mother had missed one.
The rage hit her full force. Her body shook. She rocked from side to side, the only way to endure the torment. If she'd only been smarter at the game and faster, she'd have had that one too. But the scrawny female fairy had been quick. And not only that, she'd taunted Mother as she outpaced her. Mother remembered the words, words aimed like daggers, as the fairy slipped from her grasp.
Too slow, you big old monster. Nothing can stop Saphira from finding her love.
The words had hurt Mother, although she did not know how she understood the fairy's language. Perhaps it was from eating so many of them. Their magic must have built up inside her. Certainly, each one she ate made her stronger, allowed her to know more, feel more.
She was ancient. She was powerful. She was Mother.
Who am I now mother of, she wondered. Her children were long dead. Only she remained.
Trapped. Alone.
The rage returned quickly, along with the memory of chasing that clever and quick fairy who had called herself Saphira. Mother spat out the name to herself in disgust. The fairy had flown too fast and was so quickly out of reach. But Mother knew better ways, the back ways, through the dark. She could set up an ambush at the drop, or so she had thought. She almost managed to catch Saphira there, had missed her by a hair's breadth. She'd arrived just in time to see the fairy flitting past. Mother had underestimated her. Mother had one more shot. One shot only. She launched herself off the ledge and struck out with all her strength. Her attempt nearly succeeded, but the fairy flew free. But a hard object, wrenched out of the fairy's hands, clattered to the floor. Saphira had failed to hold on to the very thing she'd come for. The grotto was cruel like that.
Mother was cruel like that.
At least Mother had that to cling to. And the rage was subsiding, the hunger overtaking. Mother left thoughts of lost meals behind her.
She waited, in the dark, alone.
Rosa and Oscar reared back, away from the suddenly crazed old lady. But the screaming ended as quickly as it had begun. The colour came back to Von Lipp's face and she straightened her grey dress.
Oh, my! I am sorry I lost myself there for a moment, she said, the overly sweet tone returning to her voice.
She stretched out her hand to Rosa once more, the map now quite crumpled. Taking a ginger step forward, Rosa quickly snatched the paper from her grasp.
And the deal has been struck,
said Von Lipp with another strange chuckle.
The very best of luck on your little adventure, whatever its purpose may be. Oh, and if along the way you happen to meet anyone I've done wrong, please do tell them I'm sorry.
The children mumbled wary thanks as they backed towards the shop exit. There was no way they were turning their backs on this crazy lady. As Von Lipp bent to return her feather pen to the drawer, Oscar managed to catch one last glimpse past her, through to the back of the shop. What was going on in that mirror? Why would it show waving grass? Occupied by these questions, it took Oscar a moment or two to notice Von Lipp following the path of his gaze to the mirror behind. Turning back to eyeball Oscar, she gave him a stare so deadly that it sent shivers down his spine. He grabbed his sister's arm to pull her to the exit. Slamming the door behind them, Oscar and Rosa took off down the path at a run. The muffled ouches of Ash and Quilby could be heard as the backpack bounced heavily with each loping stride. Bursting out onto a clear patch of icy gravel near the road, the children stopped to catch their breaths, while Oscar opened the zip to check their little companions were all right.
"We did it," puffed Oscar. "We know where the net is." "But man, that Mrs. Von Lipp is totally nuts," said Rosa. "Still, getting that map out of her was pretty easy in the end."
"Yes. It did go a little too well," Ash said thoughtfully as he flicked a rubber band picked up from the bottom of the backpack off his broken wing stub. "You certainly managed to bring out her dark side."
"Oh, yes. You really made her angry, Oscar," said Quilby.
"Yeah, I didn't quite believe her act, any of it," Oscar said. "So I decided to try and wind her up just to see." "Well, it worked."
"Yeah, a little too well," said Oscar, a shiver running through him. "But now I've seen it for myself. That old lady is as crooked as the trees in this lane."
Ash nodded.
"This is all so new to you two. It must be very hard to get your heads around. We understand if you're feeling scared and would rather go back home. You've helped us so much already. We're very grateful."
No, we're with you all the way," said Oscar. "At least we won't have to deal with Mrs. Lipp again." Rosa nodded in agreement.
"Yep, we're with you guys. So we better get going if we're going to find this cave today."